In August, a correspondent of the New York Times wrote that one of the new railroad towns, Kearney City, was small but vigorous and promising. He predicted that she will be a rich and busy city someday, and commented on these numerous towns which spring up so suddenly on the plains. They remain in constant and fierce rivalry, each eagerly clutching at every straw of trade to keep itself afloat and to swim ahead of its neighbors. He found that, with the track completed to Kearney less than a week ago, the first train came in from Omaha yesterday. And tomorrow shall see the first eastward-bound train, yet already the road has been built 2 miles further on, this in one day. He considered it extraordinary to see in how short a time the smooth, grass-covered prairie, unworn by wagon tracks and undented even by hoofprints, has been converted into a grand iron highway. Occasionally, a dip in the surface had to be filled with a few shovels of dirt. But beyond this, it needs only that the ties be laid, the rails spiked on them, and the spaces filled in with earth. Summing up, the reporter said that what he was witnessing is the genuine American genius, the genius of the West especially, which welcomes obstacles and looks on impossibilities as incentives to greater exertion. There were thousands of the young lions, 500 or more working on the grades, then 1,000, then 3,000 by 1868, in order to keep well ahead of the track layers, who eventually numbered more than 7,000. The men came to Omaha on their own, or in response to a UP advertisement that promised good pay, good food, lots of work, and a free ride. Many were Irish, and so the whole gang was labeled, but in fact they came from all over Europe and the United States, including a few newly freed African Americans. Jack Casement had a former slave with him as a servant. His name was Jack Ellis, and he had been with Casement during the last year of the Civil War. Some 300 freed slaves worked on the UP altogether. What the working men had most in common was their age, most of them teenagers or just into their 20s, and their status as veterans. Their food was served on long tables in a dining car. They sat on benches as at a picnic table. The meals consisted of coffee, potatoes, and boiled meat, usually beef. Jack Casement kept a herd of 500 cattle marching along with the advance of the rails. It took about 9 bushels of potatoes per meal to feed the men on a dining car. Good butter was kept at hand, when possible, and occasionally even ice water. Sometimes there was variety. A diarist wrote that at one dinner time, a Negro mammy appeared with a huge basket full of fried chicken, bread and butter, doughnuts, bottles of milk, and other food. We bought her out at once, basket and all.